something that sort of I have been looking at over the last hour or so before opening the room up. And I was sort of looking at how important it is in our witness, and the Lord's been challenging us over the past few weeks about making disciples and so on. And something that I've been looking, reflecting on with regard to that is how important it is to stress the redemptive power of Christ. And I think that's very, very important to really stress this when we share, or we share the word, or also in our preaching as well. And I'm reminded of something that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, of which he says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And that's a very important principle there, not only in our witness, in our preaching, what should be in the church, and everything that we are to guard, we are to discern, we are to test, that what we receive, that is, when God is teaching us and showing the word, that it's not in the power and wisdom of men. Now, I know we know that a lot. We've had much teaching on that over the years, but in the context of revealing the redemptive power of Christ, it is important for this to be stressed. You see, the apostle, he revealed it wasn't just the power of the gospel or its revelation, but God's redemptive power. There is no point in revealing and preaching the word of God, whether be it behind the pulpit, or whether it would be that the Lord opens up where you are sharing the word with someone, or you're in a small group, or whatever it would be. It's important to remember that it's not just God revealing the power of the gospel or its revelation, but in all of that, what has to be revealed by the anointing is the redemptive power, because without redemption, you're not saved. You're not redeemed by the blood of Christ. If the redemptive power of Christ is not revealed through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Now, when we minister that in the Spirit, we're actually, when under the anointing, sharing this, we're actually creating his life, the life of Christ, in the people, in the hearers who are listening to the word of God. That is actually being done tonight, if we did but know it. The power to create that life, the life of Christ, the fullness of God, in the life of a person living, listening to the gospel, is absolutely essential. That is why this gospel is so powerful through the power of the Holy Spirit, because it is revealing Jesus to us. It's presenting him to us, alive, living by the Spirit. And I think sometimes we overlook this, or we don't maybe understand this, but it's so essential for us to understand this. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's look at verses 5 to 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through to 12. And he says here, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed in every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, and persecuted," and so it goes on. "Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you." That has to be presented in the preaching and teaching of the gospel, and particularly for making disciples. This is absolutely essential, and he really reveals this, the apostle, in this scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through to 12. And that's why, you see, it isn't just the power of the gospel or even its revelation. All of that is essential, believe me, but it has to be God, his redemptive power, manifesting, working in our lives by the Spirit, bringing, creating the life of Christ in us. Every time we're listening to the word, Jesus is being created in us. And this creation of God in us, the understanding of this, the experience of this, will help us to overcome the flesh life, as he speaks of there. That's why it is so important. It's not just of the Spirit, everything of the Spirit. A lot of things today, a new ageism is just like, it's of the Spirit, it's of the Spirit. It's more than just that. It is the Holy Spirit created in and through us, that he may be manifested and seen. And that is the essential part of the gospel. And that is how disciples are made for Christ. You can't be taught this. It has to come out of experience. That's why we have, for example, wait a minute a second. I think Romans 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 36, Romans 8 verse 6, "As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." That's why he's bringing us to the end of ourselves. That is the end of ourselves, where we are in the flesh still independent of God, that we are totally reliant upon him. Whether we speak, whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever it is, it's in our weakness he works, so that the life of God, the life of Christ that's created in us, is manifested and seen. Hence the cross that we take up daily and follow the Lord. I believe so strongly God's working that now in our lives in this church, so that we are experiencing in that weakness God taking over. Being, if you like, possessed, taken over by him. Of course, the Holy Spirit doesn't possess us like demons do. But there is a principle there in understanding. So the nature of redemption is that it's accepted by God. This is why all is done in the love of God. Everything we do is in the love of the Spirit of God. But we have to be touched by that. We have to experience that. It has to be the life of Christ in us, who is perfect love, reaching out through our weakness in which to touch lives. God will soon show you in yourself, in your flesh, in your pride, religiously, you cannot love, and you cannot love your enemy. It takes a supernatural empowerment that through weakness we can embrace and love our enemy and those that persecute us and misuse us. It's an experience. I want to share something with you with regard to this. As you know, most of you, we had the litigation meeting yesterday, which went on for such a long time. It actually went on until 11 o'clock in the evening. I was absolutely exhausted, and I didn't get back here while about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't really sleep terribly well. I think I was just past it. But when I woke up, I felt absolutely dead, I think is the word. I just felt there was no life in me. God wasn't there. It was the most ghastly experience. And I just got out, and I got up and made a cup of tea, and I just sat, and I just started to speak in tongues. And God was starting to deal with me, release me. And it was a real ordeal, it really was, but praise God, I no longer have a court order over me. That now is finished. And I will share more in time about the actual events, what happened, but I don't think that's appropriate now. But what I do believe is appropriate, and I'm speaking this out of experience, my heart's desire has been to forgive my enemy, and my enemy sadly has been my family. And when I was walking out of the solicitors, as I was walking to get the train, the Lord quickened to me, it's not you they are persecuting, it's me who is in you. And that helped me, because I came out a little confused. Came out feeling condemned, because everything was revealing that I was the criminal. And I came back, tried to sleep, go to bed. I got up and I sat here, and I just started to speak in tongues. And the Lord began to speak to my spirit. And he reminded me of Jonah, of Job. And how God doubly blessed Job at the end of his trial. And I thought, yes, I know that and everything. And then the Lord reminded me that that blessing didn't come until Job forgave. He prayed. He prayed for the others. He prayed for family. He prayed for the comforters and that. He was praying forgiveness. And in the depth of all of that experience, I realized this was the opportunity now being presented to me to pray forgiveness. I'd already prayed forgiveness. I desired that forgiveness for my family, but now God was going to make it a reality. And I heard myself, it was almost like God took me out of my body, but I still heard myself outside of me praying this prayer. And I remember in this prayer that I was praying, and I said, Father, this could be me if it was not for the grace of God. And if this was me, I would be so blessed that somebody right now is interceding and supplicating my soul before the mercy seat of God. And with that, God revealed that Christ had taken over in my weakness the power to forgive them. And I knew that that was redemptive in God's mercy, because remembering my mother had been praying for years for household salvation. And that was such an experience this morning, because I was at the end of myself. It was an absolute ordeal, and I will share more in time, but I don't believe tonight's the right time. But God worked that. And what I'm trying to say to you all, you can't muster this up. You cannot even be theological about it. It has to come by God presenting it. It has to come when the redemptive power of Christ living in your life, Christ taking over in weakness at that point. And that was such an experience. But before blessing can come, and the same with Job, Job first had to repent. He had to seek intercession, forgiveness. And then, of course, we know what God did after that. And this is really what I'm trying to say. This is why we have to rely on the redemptive power of Christ. That has to be stressed in our life, in our ministry, because it is that that makes disciples. It's not enough just a message of teaching about Jesus or what Jesus has done and the shedding of the blood at Calvary and everything. Yes, that is right. But it has to go further than that. Am I representing the redemptive power of Christ in the life of that person? Whether it be it in preaching, sharing, teaching, or also in prayer, intercession, when asking to forgive, and so on. It is important. I know this is deep stuff, but God wouldn't be giving this to us tonight unless we're at that place. This is all part of our maturing and growing up as sons of God. But we have to remember the faith that God has given to us, the faith teaching that we have been listening to over all these years. Remember this, that true faith always in nature is redemptive. That is its nature fundamentally. It's redemptive because our faith, our belief, is recreating, is getting us to be in contact experientially with Christ who is in us. And boy, does that make a difference. It really, really does. So true faith is redemptive in nature, and we must never substitute our knowledge in witnessing or sharing or whatever it would be in merely the word or law or the letter. It's got to be much more. Look at the power of forgiveness. For example, if you look in Matthew 18, verse 21. In Matthew 18 and verse 21, I was only going to give a little small speech or share tonight. Well, the Lord knows, doesn't he? Praise God. Again, it's through weakness, he just makes us strong. Matthew 18 and verse 21, of which he says, "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times." And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but I say to you up to 70 times." Now, why does he say that? Because it's impossible in the natural, in human wisdom, to forgive that many times. But I believe also he said 70 times because he was showing us that is the power of the redemptive work of Christ in us, who is capable and has all power to forgive. That's what it's on about. And if it would take 70 times, well, that's no problem. Because the redemptive work of God can do that and will do that. So even to forgive does not lie simply in man's human weakness. What does it say in Proverbs 25 and verse 21? Proverbs 25 and verse 21, 22, of which it says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Again, we see the power of forgiveness, because forgiveness in nature is redemptive. The same as the sinner confesses their sin, they turn away from their sin, their rebellion, and so forth. You see, so often in our witness or in our teaching, we need the Holy Spirit to represent the truth as he has revealed it to us. So as the Holy Spirit, I believe, reveals to us tonight what he's saying to us, you are touched by this, we are changed by this, and you express this, you reveal this in your life, your ministry, your teaching, your whatever it is, or work, wherever you are. You take this word, the power of this word, what it's doing to us, and you present this by the Spirit, by the anointing, as he leads to that dying world outside. That is fundamentally, I believe, how God does it. This is why faith comes by hearing the word of God. This is why he plants that seed in our hearts for this faith. So that we take this, so that this reaches out to others. They are touched by the redemptive power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, you see. Because he said, if I will be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We've got to avoid using these enticing words of man's wisdom, human logic. And we all fall for it. We all can be tricked by it. And we realize that, yes, we've said some things. Yes, I've given my testimony. I've shared what Jesus did for me. But it didn't save. It didn't touch that person. And the reason being is, the redemptive power of Christ didn't take hold of them, didn't take hold of their life, their heart, their spirit. Therefore, faith could not be released in which they too can experience the risen Christ living in them. Now, I know this may seem difficult, but God's giving this to us tonight because if we listen to this, he's going to do this. He's going to work this. And if we take this away, what God's given to us, we're going to see some big, major breakthroughs. I truly believe this. But we've got to avoid these enticing words of man's wisdom and human logic and what we think is right. You see, we're totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. And I think at the moment, in the nature of what we're receiving, more and more he's getting us to be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit, because we're realizing we cannot do this. There's no way this can be enacted. There's no way you can try and recreate this. Only the Holy Spirit can glorify the name of Jesus as we yield over to him. For example, if we see in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, Ephesians 6 and verse 18, of which he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. So it comes by the Spirit. That's why we make much about praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. Whereas it says also in Jude 20, praying in the Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith. We know in Romans 8, 26, 27, about praying, supplicating in the Spirit, and so forth. Because that allows the Christ in you to take over in weakness. And when he takes over, when he's moving through you, speaking through you, doing everything through you, he is going to present through you his blood to the hearers. Redemption. He's presenting it to them, not you. He does it through you. You are simply the vessel. And so when he presents that through you, you will see those souls saved, because he's doing it. I know this may sound profound, but this is what I believe God is revealing to us now in these last days. Our ministry should be revealing Jesus Christ, and they see he's alive every second and moment of the day in and through us and through the church. This is what we must express and reveal to this dying world. But it cannot, I repeat again, it cannot be done with enticing words. It cannot be done with logic. It cannot be done with human wisdom or what we might think is right or whatever it is. It is wrought by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can apply the redemptive power of the blood of Christ in hearers. Only the Holy Spirit can draw them to repentance, draw them to the foot of the cross, draw them to the Word, and so forth. He said, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. But tarry, wait, for the Holy Spirit, I myself, will come back to you. Well, praise God, I just wanted to share that with you tonight. That's the redemptive power of Christ, totally relying on that, because that is what saves this dying world. And sadly, so much of evangelism, ministries that we see today, have got it so wrong. And sadly, what sort of converts are being saved? But God has got a remnant, and he's got those who will hear with their heart, and he's got a people who will bring disciples into the body of Christ. And let him do it. Let him build his church through each one of us as we just let go and let the Lord do it. He doesn't want any of our ideas. Whatever God is going to do, he's going to bring it to you. You don't have to go searching for it. You don't have to go striving. You don't have to work for it in that sense. He will bring everything to you, me, all of us. Whatever we need to have, whatever we need to be equipped with, whatever we need to say, anything which is of God, he says, I bring it to you. And as he brings it to us, it is always redemptive in nature. He must increase, but I must decrease. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight. Thank you for helping us, encouraging us. Thank you, Lord, for this word. I didn't think that we would have this, but you've just proved something again tonight, Lord. It's if we're willing, open, it's you doing it in and through us. And Father, I thank you for our fellowship. I thank you how we encourage, how we pray one for another, stand with one another. I want to thank my brothers and sisters who, through the months, have stood with me through this big trial. And I've sensed and felt the power, the prayers, the encouragement of my brothers and sisters, and most certainly yesterday in that lion's den experience, I was experiencing prayers, intercessions. So again, Father, I give you all the praise, all the glory. Father, thank you tonight for speaking to us. And our heart's desire, Lord, is just that this may be achieved in and through us, that our lives, everything we do and say, may be redemptive in nature, in heart. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for those kind words. And yes, it was a short message, but God knows sometimes what we need. And if we continue to be in prayer and intercession, we will be online again on Sunday. The room will be opened round about 11 o'clock. And so until then, we'll look forward to fellowship. And please be in prayer intercession. Pray one for another. It's vital. And as the Holy Spirit shows for things to pray on, things around the world, we must continue to be people of prayer and intercession. It's absolutely vital. So until then, you have a blessed week, and we'll be online 11 o'clock on Sunday. That's UK time.